Okay, welcome everybody. This will be the first Affirming Youth Ministries podcast, and we might call it, what are we
going to
call it?
We're going to call it probably the Mythically Normal Podcast.
The Mythically Normal Podcast. And then in parentheses, it will say an Affirming Youth Ministries podcast, just so everybody knows, hopefully. But
yes.
It would love to unpack that name later on in the episode.
We will happily unpack the name.
But welcome to anybody that's listening, and we're just going to all go around and introduce ourselves very quickly, and then we're going to get into a conversation. I'll just say this. Okay, I'll start by introducing myself. My name is Scott Gronholtz. I'm the director of Affirming Youth Ministries. We've been doing this thing for almost 3 years now, and this has been a deep hope for a very long time of having a podcast that would actually be run by actual teens. So everybody... You're going to hear from some actual teens here in a second. I'm just starting this episode to get the ball rolling, but eventually this is going to be not run by an adult. It'll be run by teen people. And this is like meant to get you to know the squad that's going to be doing the podcast from here on out. That's me, Scott, he, him pronouns, 43 years old, old adult. And now we're going to hear from everybody else. There's four of us here today. How about you start, Faith?
Hi, welcome. My name is Faith. My pronouns are she, her. I am 16 years old, almost 17, and I am living in Michigan. I study ballet. I love ballet. I love everything about it. And I also am studying education. I want to be a teacher when I'm older, and so I'm so excited. I will pass it to Eli.
Beautiful.
Perfect. Hi, my name is Eli. I use they, them pronouns. I'm 19. I am living in Portland, Oregon, but I'm a transplant. I'm secretly from Dallas, Texas. And I am studying political science and pre-law. And I will pass it to our final member, Zoe.
Hello, I am Zoe. I use she, her pronouns. I am from Washington, D.C., and I study theater.
Woo! Very, very fancy. I guess briefly, for those of you that don't know our story, I won't go deep into it, but... we started an Affirming Youth group in quarantine and so started connecting with people from all over the world because it was a virtual youth group. And part of the way I spend my time is I meet with students before they join the youth group just to get to know them and answer any questions they might have. And we have some of our other volunteer leaders that do the same thing. And it's fascinating to see the students that join us from all these different places. And I usually ask a series of kind of unscripted questions, but they're just the questions that started to happen as I started to interview people. And this is in a way sort of replicating that experience when I sit down and I ask these initial questions. And so we'll ask you guys the same questions as a way to get to know you and as a way to sort of hear how you guys have interacted or interfaced with what we're doing. So the first question I usually ask people is, what made you want to reach out to Affirming Youth Ministries in the first place? And what was going on in your life that prompted the search? Who wants to start? Anybody can kind of start. Whatever. Yeah, Eli, you want to start?
I was like, I'll start. Let's see. I reached out like height of COVID. I think it was June of COVID year. So June of 2020. And I was really just looking for a space where I could talk to other queer youth of faith in kind of just like a very like seminar like atmosphere. And now here I am 3 years later, kind of like one of the people who do this kind of often.
Let's do the passing thing again.
I will pass it to Faith.
Okay, so I joined in August of 2021, I believe. Like early August, maybe late July. So I was, at the beginning of the summer, I joined a very not affirming youth group. And I did not expect it to be like that. I was like, there's no way. Like, I hadn't been a part of a youth group in a really long time, but I really didn't believe that there would be like outwardly homophobic people, because I just took a step away from religion for a very long time. And I didn't have it. Like, I was like, there's no way they're like gonna be horrible. Oh boy. It was an experience, and it was a lot, and it really made me struggle a lot with my identity, and it was really unhealthy, and I was not in a good place, and I was like, I need to find a place that can counteract this place. So I Googled, I did it like a Google search, and I was like, affirming youth groups, and I found it, and I was like, huh, this looks interesting. And I was very nervous. I was like, this looks like a lot of people, and I don't know if it's going to be my thing. Oh boy, was it my thing. The first time I went to Rebel, it was like so beautiful. And so yeah, I was really just in a like not so good place. I was struggling with my identity, having to like feeling like I have to choose a religion or my identity, and I was just like, I didn't like that. And I found it, and I was like, this is my place. Like, this is perfect. Zoe, I'll pass it to you.
So my story follows Faith's. So you will learn this very quickly, but Faith and I are best friends. And so I saw her go through this whole finding the, I don't remember what their name was, but the homophobic Christian people. That's what we're going to call them. And she loved them because she loves everybody. But they were not her jam. And she was like trying to help people because she tries to help everyone, but it was like not going too hot. And then she found Affirming Youth Ministries, and every day she would call me and she'd tell me how amazing they were and how much she loved all the people and how they were like helping her. And like, I was just like, I need to be part of this. Like, faith has been such a rocky thing in my life. Having people that like understood where I was coming from sounded like such a comforting thing. And so I have no clue when I started. It was like the middle of the year in 2021, but it's any time. After faith, a couple months. And I had the first meeting and I was like, this is a lot of people. There's a lot going on. And then I was like, wait, this is kind of fun. Like, we're just having a bunch of fun. We were playing Kahoot. And I was like, this isn't so much about religion as like love and like community. And so that's what really drew me in. I was like, yeah, this is my space. And since then, I've been going and it's been a blast.
I love that. I think also as we talk, you can feel free to like sort of interrupt each other, not like mean in a way, but like you can sort of talk and intersperse. So like just kind of springboarding off that initial question, I think as people, I love to think of another like 16-year-old out there searching for something like this and hearing stories that might resonate in their spirit, or even having a little bit of catharsis. Hearing about what it was like for you guys. And so I think you painted the picture a little bit, but like, I guess, for people that are in different parts of the world, like what is it like trying to engage in these Christian spaces and to sort of either get shut down or denied or judged or critiqued? Or I know I especially have talked mostly with Eli about going to like a private Christian school, and there's all these like subtle dismissals where they can't come right out and say they aren't affirming, and they almost like give you these little pebbles of maybe thinking they're affirming, but they're not. So I don't know, like I don't want you to go into like any sort of like trauma dumping or anything like that, but do you have any like stories of what it was like or what it is like?
For me, at least, it was really like painful, because all I was seeking was a space with love, and that is the very last thing I got. And I come from an amazing point of privilege where I am white and I am cis, so people don't look at me and say, "Oh, you're not welcome here." But I could hide in my identity, and it was painful for me, because as soon as I told them who I was, they were like, "Absolutely not!" Like, they were so against it. And so I just think, when I was seeking and searching for love, and I was met with just the opposite of that, as soon as they found out a tiny fact about myself, it was just really heartbreaking.
And how did they present it? Like when you say absolutely not, like how would the conversations go?
For me at least, like I came out to them because they always brought it up. They always brought up like how being gay was a sin and how I like could never ever do that. And I was like finally like, I'm gonna just talk to them about it, hoping to maybe turn their heads a little. That is not what happened. I've learned that they have to make the first step in that journey of trying to learn and become accepting. They were not interested in that journey. So I was just like, they fully denied it. They were like, no, you're not. Like, you're out of your mind. And I was like, okay. So it's just like, it makes me more and more thankful that there are spaces like this that are so safe for us to be in.
And were you like 15 at the time?
I was 14.
14? Yeah.
Into this.
Yeah. Yeah. Gosh. I have a lot of thoughts on that, but I want to hear from other people. But how about you guys?
It was very confusing because when I was at like the height of my religion, I was in two churches. My parents are divorced. So I had an Episcopalian church with my mom and a Baptist church with my dad that I go to every other weekend. And one was like, we love you. Like, we were pretty sure our pastor was gay. Like, but I was seven, so I didn't really understand what that meant.
Yeah.
And then the other one was like, you can change everything in your life by prayer. Like, you can pray the mental illness away. And I was like, I don't really know what mental illness is, but I sure can pray it away. And I was just very confused. I was getting mixed signals every week. And so I just dropped it. I said, that's enough.
No, thank you.
No more. And so then for a long time, I was like, I don't know really enough space for me. Like, am I going to get the same message? And so affirming youth ministries was great because you can be as religious or as non-religious as you would like to be.
Yeah.
And that allowed me a space to be more religious is that no one was forcing anything on me.
Mm.
No one was telling me I can pray anything away. No one was telling me that I was wrong. It was all just like, you are right, however you come, however shape, size, color, whatever, you are here and we love you. So that was great. Fantastic.
You know, and before Eli shares, I think one of the things that keeps me going is this idea. It's like, it is affirming youth ministries. And I think one of the misunderstandings a lot of times when I talk to people is they superimpose their regular ideas of what youth ministry is over just it being affirming. And I'm like, it is affirming.
Exactly.
Yeah. Plus we're trying to make space for kids to explore their faith in a way that doesn't imply that they need to agree with a certain doctrine or conform to what we're doing. So it's really fun.
I have tried to recruit people who had like a large amount of religious trauma. We're like, can you please come to our belt? Like, I feel like it can make you start liking your religion again. Cause none of them don't like their religion. They've just been like, and been imposed upon them. And I was like, I feel like when you take it all away, when you say you don't need to be religious, somehow people come more towards it because like they want to come towards a love. That's what everyone wants to come towards, is come towards a love.
That's a nice little soundbite. I got to make a little quote slide for that one. Well, it's such a blessing to me because that was a dream for like 10 years. I just didn't know how to implement it because the wonky way that churches are structured is that ultimately the youth pastor doesn't have much say in the overall vision of the church, and you sort of always have to do what the church wants you to do. And I'm just like, God, how can I find a way that we can do youth ministry in a way? And so then, and then you have this idea, but then to hear an actual student say how they experienced it in the way that you would hope someone would experience it is so beautiful. How about you, Eli?
So I grew up I grew up in the same church my entire life, like same pastor. Actually, when I went home for Christmas holidays, we're recording just after like Christmas holidays. Like we just had like a big like switch in the head pastor for the first time in like 40 years. So I grew up in this church, and there, when people know you your whole life, like when you're in diapers, it is very hard for you to get you to change how you're perceived in those spaces, particularly in like how all of a sudden I would argue with 60-year-olds about theology that I might know something more about, just because like I had done a lot of research on all of these things, and you have just heard from this one pastor your whole life. Not to diss the one pastor your whole life, but also you might not know as much. And kind of like there's that hard-headedness, and then I also went to a private Christian school, and a lot
In
of kind
Texas.
of like in Texas, a lot of like very when Christianity tries to make itself marketable, and marketable is like the key word there, I feel like it tries to cover up the fact that it is actually like not affirming. And so it's kind of like we're not going to explicitly say anything, but we're going to tell you behind closed doors that this is not okay for you to talk about, to express in any kind of way. And so that's just kind of like a really frustrating thing to navigate and then also be figuring out as you're trying to figure yourself out as a teenager in life.
Yeah, it's so weird. I mean, it's something that if you're not really paying attention and it's not on your radar, it just can go right over your head, which it did for me for like 10 to 15 years. It's like, and that's why we want to call the nonprofit Affirming Youth Ministries. I don't think it's a very fun, catchy, interesting name, but it's very aggressively clear on what it is. And that's why it affirming, you know, you'd bring something up about like queer folks or LGBTQ folks and church leaders will say, well, we're accepting. And you go, oh, they're accepting. Great. But that's just code for basically not affirming. And it is just so almost, I would put it in the, I'd use a word like diabolical to like trick people into thinking that you're affirming when you're not. And then have to
Their
navigate.
idea of like accepting is letting you into the church building. Like, it's not like anything about your identity. It's like you can come in, like, and nothing else.
Yeah, and you can serve like behind the scenes in the kitchen, but we can't have you doing anything like real upfront leadership. I don't want to laugh about it, but it's sort of like ludicrous. And once you're not really in those spaces anymore, it just seems so entertaining or like laughable in retrospect. But you know, the question I want to ask is not in any way meant to be like a commercial for AIM or anything like that. I think. You know, one of the things I think that keeps us going is there was a statistic we heard from the Trevor Project that just by offering an affirming space, you could reduce suicide or suicidal ideation by like 60%. And so we had to reclarify our mission very clearly that we're not the Trevor Project, that we're not like emergency services, that we can't help students if they're actually in trouble or in jeopardy or you know, in any way like going to harm themselves or anything like that. But we can just offer a weekly a safe affirming space. So I wonder what that experience has been like that for you. And I would say like, you don't have to necessarily make it about AIM or Rebel. Everybody, the youth group is called Rebel. So if you hear anybody here talk about Rebel, that's what we call the youth group. You can talk about that, but if you want to talk about other things in terms of affirming your safe spaces and that impact that it's had on you, that would be really cool. Who'd want to start? Sorry.
Okay. So I'm a huge mental health advocate. Like, if there's one thing I'm going to do is advocate for mental health. And having a space, like I said, that is just focused about love, I know saves so many people. And like you said, it's not directly. You're not calling them when you're in a crisis. You're not like ranting in like therapy session time. But it's knowing that people will support you no matter what. And I have formed some really close connections. Taylor Mays, love you. I have texted them about like, hey, I'm really struggling in school. Do you have any advice? Or like, hey, blah, blah, blah is happening in my life. Like, what are your thoughts? Just because like I know that they will be there for me. And like, they're like my sibling. Like, I love them. And I just feel like they will care. At the end of the day, you know, there's a group of people that will care for you. Or like when my school was going through something, I texted Scott. I was like, hey, can you post about this? Like, and Scott is there for you. Like, if there's anything Scott can do, he will do it.
That's nice.
But just having people that will care for you unconditionally is such a reassuring thing. A lot of people just need reassurance.
That's
Like,
beautiful.
a lot of people just need someone to be like, you are okay and you are safe. And I think Rebelga is a really great safe space. I know some people like have to do it in like their basement with their headphones on, but like they will make sure they come because they need somewhere to be safe for an hour.
We had this woman who, oh, go ahead, Faith. You go.
it's so wild how like people just in their basement can be transformed to a safe place just by hearing other people talk. Like, no matter where they are, being on the screen with these people, they're powerful enough to send this message and to get this like to you. Like, this is safe, and it feels that way too.
It's so crazy. I think the thing that I could never really understand, because I didn't attend a virtual youth group when I was in high school, is that it actually, I mean, you're here. So I guess it does work, whatever that means. And I was just going to riff off something Zoe said, that we eventually started inviting this licensed sex therapist who's actually written some books to do our sex series at the church before we went virtual. And she would always use this phrase that the things that you're going on, that the things you're dealing with sexually as a teen are, and probably for the rest of your life, are natural, normal, and God-given. And it was just such a great counter to the things I heard in high school, which is like, everything that you're feeling is wrong and it's sin and it's gross and you can't talk about it and don't ever bring it up. And it was just so nice to hear it. Natural, normal, and God-given. It's like, oh, wow, what a profound message. And then everybody can relax and not worry so much. And yeah. How about
before I speak, I have two really quick things.
Yeah.
One, like Faye said, a virtual space I was a little iffy on. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like religion is such like a close thing. Like, you're all sitting in the room with a Bible. Mm-hmm. You know, like this kind of cold, dark room, but like, you know, you feel it. So I was like, okay, a virtual space, like how close are like the connections gonna be? They are close. Especially like, it's been really cool, like after like lockdown and stuff, people may be able to like meet up. And like I said, like I went to Boston because I had to do some like college tours, and I got to see Taylor Mays, and like they gave me a tour of their school. And like, I just thought that was so cool of like this online relationship. And like with Faith, like Faith lives in Michigan, I live in DC. We got to meet up and like form this really cool connection. Like, virtual spaces are like the best thing to come out of COVID. Not all virtual.
Right.
I'm not right. All virtual. But some, and also like you said, like the having a sex therapist come in was a shocker to me.
Yeah.
My jaw dropped. I was like, what? Like, you're gonna have someone come to me and talk about how sex is okay with God. Like, that's a natural thing that's like supposed to happen. Like, I'm not supposed to be ashamed of it. And all of a sudden I had this like realization of like my sexuality in itself was okay. Like, I know they're not connected necessarily, but like they are. And I was like, everything is just natural. Like, all the things that we've been told are so unnatural are just like, God made us this way. That's how we're gonna be.
Yeah, and I also remember we had Coach Yema come on the heels of some of those talks, and you know, she coaches people for a living, and I didn't really need to check out what she was going to talk about because I just sort of trust her, and I still do. But she came in and she was just like, I felt like God told me that tonight I need to talk about masturbation with all of you. And I was like, oh, okay, we're going to do that, I guess. I guess teens.
I love that.
Yeah. Oh my God. Like, we're doing this. And the youth pastor in me that was just has like a lot of paranoia based on things that have happened in the past, where if anybody would have done that, I would have probably gotten in trouble. So I was just very sweaty for the first few minutes. I was just like, just settle down. This is great. The kids are here. Everybody seems comfortable. But I was like, woo. Okay. how about you, Eli?
I was like, I know I love virtual spaces. Even sometimes I like virtual spaces mostly because I can do it anywhere. Like, a big question kind of moving off to college that I got when I came back home for Christmas was like, oh, like, how's your youth group, your spiritual life? And I was like, it didn't change. I go to a virtual youth group. I literally just type on my computer and I go into the Zoom. And that also works really well for the fact that we get a bunch of cool speakers because all they have to do is get on their computer and then they talk to us that way. It's not like we are limited to whoever is in like our geographic vicinity. And that has been something that has been really nice because we get people from, I'm pretty sure there have been some out of country speakers who have come and spoken at Rebel that literally that would not be able to happen. And they've been some of my favorite talks. I think it was when Gabby came.
Oh yeah.
I think they were out of the country.
Yeah.
And that was one of those things where it's like, this is so cool that I'm hearing this talk. And also, I could never have heard this any other way.
Yeah, I mean getting guest speakers that works easily. Anybody from anywhere. Also sad, I forgot to record on our Zoom, so I'm recording on the Rodecaster. So we have the audio, but I'm gonna start recording here. So I do have a recording, but it would be nice.
Scared me, Scott. I
Yeah.
thought you just weren't recording at
I
all.
was like,
No, I am recording.
Scott. Starting off on a good foot.
Yeah. That's happened
For
sometimes
the
with
record,
no small thing.
I trusted Scott. I trusted Scott. I said Scott has it. It is little Roadcaster.
Yeah,
He
I
said
have
it
the
really funny
Rodecaster.
earlier before we started recording. And I have faith in the Roadcaster. So I just want to put that out
If
there.
we have the audio, but if we do end up putting this on YouTube, welcome. We've been recording audio, and now you're midway through our conversation. I'd be interested, I guess for people that are just sort of getting to know our organization or what we do. I think because that we have kids from all different walks of life and different backgrounds and different experiences with Christianity or faith, some people come. And I talked to some buddy from London last week, and they had sort of a different experience than you guys. It's like they grew up queer and in an affirming family or household, and only recently started being interested in Christianity, and has no baggage with non-affirming spaces or their family, and just or even Christianity for that matter. They just found us and said, "I'm interested in exploring Christianity. I don't really know much about it." And then I think on the two far ends of the spectrum in terms of what we do, we have kids that come in that are very angsty and angry about Christianity, and they want to tear it down and deconstruct. And then we are sort of the last stop on the way out of Christianity. And we can say, pat them on the back and be like, that's okay too. And we love you, and don't worry so much about it. And then we have other kids who come in, and they want like the theology, and they want the Bible studies, and they want to meet with Byron, and they want to go deep into like scripture, and they want that too, and they want to stay rooted and solid in Christianity. And those are like two ends of the spectrum. And then we have all sorts of folks in the middle. So I guess the question is for you guys, obviously this isn't in any way a test. That's the whole point, is like, what are you finding compelling these days about either Christianity or faith or religion or spirituality or scripture or Jesus or whatever? Like what is it these days that you're finding compelling about that? Anybody can start. Okay, Eli.
I know for me, particularly around Christmas, a lot of the Jesus symbolism really starts hitting again as we get into kind of like Christmas. And like just a few days ago was the last day of Christmas, and that's like the day where we celebrate that the Magi are coming and all of these things. And I really find compelling like having days to celebrate things that have happened in our ancestors' history that we have recorded and passed down and continue to celebrate. I think that's something that's like really cool and also like very meaningful because it's like my grandparents celebrated Christmas and I am celebrating Christmas now too. And it's things like that that really get me going in the spiritual realm. That was
I love it.
I will pass it on to Faith.
Okay.
Me, it's always been how important religion is to other people and also the pain it's caused people in efforts to try to deconstruct it to help those people heal. And that's what I found at Rebel. I found like going to Byron's Bible studies like formally on Tuesday nights. Every Tuesday night I'd like be like, okay, this will help me get a little further in my way of like healing my relationship with Christianity. And oh boy, did it. And it also gave me the knowledge to talk to some of my friends who were a little nervous about coming to Rebel. Like, oh, I don't know necessarily if I'm ready for that yet, but I am curious about what you talk about. Getting to help them get ready to like go into a space like this so important. So just how it affects other people and how people like have struggled with it and how I can personally help them like find a way to either heal from it or come back to it if they're ready for that.
Yeah. I hope I'm not disrupting the order of the flow of everybody gets to share, but I think what's so interesting is the idea that is so prevalent in most Christian spaces, it seems, is this idea that you guys have heard me talk about a lot, which is something along the lines of like, you can't make the Bible say whatever you want it to say. And it's such a mind trip because I think once I got, it took me to be like 40 to figure this out, but like you guys seem to have already figured it out. It's like, well, first of all, that's obviously already what everybody's doing. They just won't admit it. So you're saying the Bible says this, and psychologically and in so many ways, you probably want it to say that for some reason. And all that to say, it's like you have to personalize it. Like nobody can see the gesture I'm doing because, well, I guess you can if you're watching this on YouTube. But like the information has to pass through a human body with a human brain that has language and experiences and symbols that automatically interpret all the information. So it's not like any of us come at any information objectively. And so it's just really cool to see you all own it, own your own faith. It's funny that we're going to say the word faith so many times with faith right here. But
I was debating whether or not I was going to confuse people.
Own your spirituality.
Yeah, I was like, this might get a little silly. It works well for him.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the hacks, so to speak. It's like there is a certain type of Christian youth pastor or professor or something that's like, preparing their teens to debate some sort of like science professor in their secular college someday and arming them with arguments. And instead of just saying, you know what, you don't need to really defend anything. Your faith is your faith and your spirituality is your spirituality. And we're not trying to fight about it. You know, we're not trying to like go around saying we're right. So I don't know, that's one of my little rants. How about you, Zoe?
I'm going to actually add on to that. It's a perfect transition. I started owning that I am biased. I am biased to inclusion. And I am biased to your God is your God. Which sounds weird that that's my bias, but it is. It is my personal opinion, and I heavily believe that. So most mornings, I read a Bible quote. Mm-hmm. And some days, it is just not it. Because yeah. I go on websites, and I'm just like, they're like, your God is he, and he is running your life. Yeah. And I'm like, I actually don't believe that. I believe he has, they have some influence, mm-hmm. definitely. But they are not telling me that I needed to wake up at 6:37 a.m. and brush my teeth in this certain direction. Like, no, that is what I believe. And so, goodness, what was the question?
Oh, what are you finding compelling about spirituality these days? Like, what's interesting to you?
Yeah. Sorry, I'm so loud.
Well, I derailed this with my own thoughts.
compelling. I just think I love how you can make it so individual.
Yeah.
I love how I can have my little morning and my little journal, and it is no one else's business. Mm-hmm. And I don't have to tell anybody about it. Obviously, I'm telling all of you now. Welcome. But I don't have to. It could just be me, my journal in the morning, and no one else needs to know that I don't think God is he.
Yeah, I love that. Okay. Let's just start with that. That's the main takeaway from this episode. God is not a he.
Like, and God is not a white man.
Yeah. Amen.
Sorry. My bad for ruined your bubble
sorry.
Today.
Sorry, Scott and Eli. God is not a white man.
Sorry.
And Eli's not a man.
So we really... Oh, if you can't see, I am half black, half white. So we got a... Because if you're not seeing. So we got a woman, person of color, not a man.
Not a man.
Just not Scott. Just not
Yeah. I think it's so fun to be on the journey with you all too, because it's not like I came into this having by any stretch of the imagination, anything all figured out. Like I get to learn alongside of you guys every day. And I remember in the early days, Daniel, our worship person, Taylor Mace is also our worship person, starting to infuse our worship songs with either she, they pronouns for God. And I just remember it making me slightly uncomfortable, not because I disagreed with it, just because I hadn't heard that before. Now it's almost the opposite. Now, if somebody's exclusively using he pronouns and getting really into the king and the Lord and the authority in worship songs, I'm like, I'm getting really uncomfortable with this. It's really weird. Yeah, I love that, Zoe, just that we can make it our own, that it really isn't anybody's business unless we want it to be. And then I think that one of the tricks is if you're allowed to do that, strangely, I think one of the assumptions people would make is if you can make it your own, then it seems lead to more arguments, because now everybody's like, but actually, I think if you feel comfortable making it your own, you're more comfortable with make other people making it their own, which is just really cool. That's my little rant about all that. Well,
I love Scott's rants. They're my favorite.
I got to be really careful. You know, I'll just say I saw this Instagram. Maybe I'll hear what you guys have to say about this, and then I'll have one last question. It's going to be really hard too. I guess for everybody, I guess I would say to clarify from here on out, this is, I'm just interviewing you guys, and they're going to be the squad that's running the podcast.
But it is a podcast and you are here. And so yeah. You get to talk.
Yeah.
So go on as many little rants as you want. This is the Facebook. Okay. Come on.
Scott will just magically disappear. We'll start
Scott's mic.
Yeah. You guys can have me back every once in a while, maybe. But I saw this thing on an Instagram reel that was going around, and it was this, I kind of sort of just secretly, I guess between us and whoever's listening, sort of hate follow some like edgy, you know, hipster Christian accounts and just see what they're up to. And there's this one that's been going around as a clip of some pastor in some sort of podcast studio. And it's like, I've heard so many different iterations of it. People put like inspirational music behind it. And it's just like, I'm like, oh, this clip again. And the guy's like, has his Starbucks and he's talking. He's like, it's good news. It's good news. You know, it's good news because anybody's accepted. And it's good news because and no matter who you are and where you are, you're loved for who you are. That's the good news. And then they, of course, lump all these things together. So if you're queer, you're loved and you can come as you are. If you're a drug addict and in prison, you can come as you are. If you're this, you can come. And like, okay, it's sounding like good news. And then he stops very dramatically and goes, but, if you believe that good news and if you accept that good news, I got some bad news for you. The bad news is you're going to have to die to yourself, and you're going to have to submit to authority, and you're going to have to submit to somebody's plan other than your own. And the bad news is that you don't get to be in charge of your life anymore. So it's good news, but it leads to the bad news. And you're like, what is he talking about? And how do people get away with this? Like, it really just isn't good news then. This isn't good news.
Like, I'm sure there are people in the crowd cheering on.
Yeah, yeah.
And giving him that authority that he so badly wants. Yeah. Like, oh my good gracious. Some
of my podcasts that I listen to every morning, oh, they're like, oh my gosh, one time, okay, I'm crazy. I listen to like those motivational podcasts on Spotify. And I just like pick and choose what I listen to, right? Because I definitely do not agree with what all they say.
Yeah.
And one time there's a whole episode on why women are not as strong as men. And I was walking to the gym. And so what did I do? As I recorded my own episode on why women are stronger than men walking to the gym.
We need to post that.
Like, how to get back at this man secretly. Yeah.
We need to post that as like a bonus episode here for.
Oh my gosh, please don't. Because you can hear me breathing because I'm like walking up the hill.
A little like Zoe, like extra.
Zoe extra.
Yeah, I'm sure you're stronger than me.
I'll give you a bonus.
I would imagine you can squat more than me, you know?
Probably.
Yeah.
But I also, that's what I do.
That's what you do. Yeah. Well, just to prove that you're stronger, I mean, I let's see, these days I can squat like maybe 190 pounds. That's it, you know, like.
Actually, you can squat more than me. I only can squat 165.
Okay. Well, I mean, I've been working on that for a while, but, you know,
I've been working on it for a year and a half. Okay.
Yeah, I've been doing it for like 20 years.
I would like to say, I think I could squat like a single hand weight.
A single hand weight.
Like, she has 5-pound ballerina weights. She could squat one of those real good.
Yeah, good form and everything.
So winding down, you guys, I think it's going to be interesting to see how your vision for the podcast starts to develop as you go, because I think that's one of the most exciting things about doing things like this, is that you can have some ideas and then things start to shift and evolve as you go. And I imagine, in my mind, a lot of really cool, interesting, dynamic conversations just between the three of you with no guests, just talking about stuff, issues. It could be playful, it could be spirituality, it can be queer adjacent stuff, whatever it is that you guys feel it's interesting to talk about. And then hopefully some interesting interviews maybe. But aside from that, like, what would you hope that this podcast would be? And what would you hope people get out of it maybe?
I want our listeners to help us. I want people, I think we're using the Farming Youth Ministries Instagram. Mm-hmm. We'll put it in the bio and DM Scott. And yeah, tell Scott what you want to hear from us, because I want this to be everybody's podcast. Mm.
I love that. Yeah, I mean, it's cool that there's already some sort of platform where you can start to get some engagement going. How about you guys?
I'll say,
yeah.
I was like, I know. So we have secretly been planning this, not so secretly, we've been planning this for like a few months. And the conversations that we've just had off air, just kind of like getting ready for this, is kind of like very fun, very funny, very fun for us to do, very happy typically. Even when we're talking about hard stuff, mm-hmm, some of us are giggling about whatever trauma we just experienced. And there are more laughs. And so that's kind of like the energy that I want to keep moving forward into the podcast. Mm.
Love that, Eli. How about you, Faith?
Oh my goodness, it's just so good. It's like a place of pure joy, and like just to listen, it's like so exciting. And I love hearing the conversations we've had, like, and I've had with these people, not filming them. And I'm so excited to be sharing like these lovely people's perceptions about the world with everyone. And I feel so lucky that I got to listen to it too. Like, it's so exciting. So honestly, whatever it becomes, because I'm sure it's going to snowball into who knows what, it's going to be amazing and it's going to be so fun.
So much optimism here.
So much fun listening to these people. So I bet you will,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
Like, I'm excited for these meetings. So I feel like people have to be excited for the podcast, right?
Totally.
Oh, yeah. It's on my, like, fate. Like, it is the top of my calendar for each day. I'm like,
oh, that's sweet.
That is, it's like in big, bold letters.
It's really pretty and like nice calligraphy too.
Oh yeah, pretty nice calligraphy, all of it.
That seems on brand. I mean, one of the phrases we use for the No Small Thing podcast is tyranny of taste, meaning you'd want to make something that you would enjoy listening to. Like, what is it that has been sort of helpful for you guys in the past in terms of content, whether it's like YouTube or TikTok, or I know Eli's big on podcasts. Like, what have you guys liked in the past in your own life?
I know I'm always showing up podcasts for the personality. Like, mm-hmm, I want to know you as a person through this podcast, that kind of like parasocial relationship. I also watch a lot of Minecraft YouTube videos, and I'm not watching for the Minecraft. I could care less. Honestly, don't care. If I listened to it with no sound, it'd be so boring. But like, just the people doing the things, talking about like their little story of the day.
Yeah.
Like stuff like that is what really, I really enjoy about podcasts. Hmm.
I love bold opinions.
Bold opinions.
So long with everybody else. I'm like, well, why don't I just listen to everybody else? Why am I listening to you? You know?
That's good. I love some good, bold opinions. And I fluctuate between the two in my own spirit. I sort of hem and haw and make all these caveats and stipulations before I give my opinion, and then I kind of give a little teeny opinion over here. But like, I'm so,
he walks on a tightrope that, yeah, he doesn't actually have to walk on. It's like a gymnastic bar, you know, to Scott, it's a tightrope.
That's a good point. It's a gymnastics bar, and I'm making it a tightrope. You got a lot more space up there, buddy. How about you, Faith? I mean, is there a certain medium that you enjoy? Is it?
I am a reader. Yeah. I read so much. In 2022, I read, 293 books.
What?
294 books, something like that. So I read an absurd amount, and it's all to kind of just go to a place that's not my own and to be able to experience different things. But I can also stay comfortable. And so I really enjoy reading. And so it's a similar thing with podcasts. Getting to kind of have a little taste of what someone else's life and perspectives are like is so, so important. And it's not always easy and accessible to get that. And so we found it.
We found it. I love that. Yeah. Wow. I'm glad I asked that question, because I would not have gotten that information that you read 290 books.
I feel like I'm a reader. This is very raw faith. I don't tell people, because people are like, so that's why you never speak to me, is because you're reading. I'm like, maybe.
Yeah.
Her and her mom have like competitions on how many books they can read. And Faith's like, I'm so tired. I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, I was reading till 6 a.m. I'm like, that sounds about right. No parties for Faith, just books.
Just books. And are they primarily novels?
I will read anything. Yeah. Like, I mean it when I say anything. Like, I will read, there's a few like big no's, but otherwise, like, I will read it. And like, sometimes I get really silly books that I'm like, what is this? Sometimes I'll get books from the like library that are literally for 4-year-olds, and I'm like, oh, okay, this is something. Like I like, so I read so many parenting books. I don't know why, but like,
wow, for some reason,
it's the silliest thing to me to hear different parents' perspectives, and I love it so much.
I was like, my adulting is teacher TikTok. I love it so much.
Teacher TikTok.
Yes. Teachers.
I love like just looking in that lens, and especially because I want to work with kids when I'm older. Hmm. I love hearing about like parents and some of their outrageous things that they do. It's so intriguing to me. So like, yeah, I read really random books, but I do read a lot of novels. I do read a lot of like just random like fiction books that like my mom gives me. She's like, here. And I am really in for like very long books, because I do read very fast, and I get so hooked on books that I don't want it to be over so quickly. So like, the longer the book, the better.
Oh my gosh, that is amazing. I'm so glad I asked.
Oh my goodness, if you have any book recommendations for me, I need them all. I'm
read out. Animal Farm. You need to read the play we're doing.
Oh, I will read that play.
Mm-hmm. I remember when I don't think you knew it was a book initially, right, Zoe? Or you were confused about, what is this?
I didn't, and I thought I was going to be crawling around like a pig. I am going to be crawling around a pig, but a socialist pig.
Socialist pig. Yeah, Eli.
I was like, my book recommendation plug, if you like a lot of like high fantasy, Brandon Sanderson, amazing. Flawless.
Like, oh my goodness, I used to not be into fantasy, and I was like, I have read so much, I just need to find something and read it. And I sat down, I was like, okay, this is fun, I can get down with this.
And he writes about as much as like 13-year-old fanfic writers, like per year. It is insane the amount of like books that he puts out, like, because he puts out like a 500-page book every other year that he writes, and then also like 3 or 4 more. Lots of books. Oh, and lots of very good books.
We need a whole book episode. We need to go into our like reading habits and all of our books. Oh my goodness, that sounds amazing.
Gosh, you know, you guys were saying part of like what you might want in the future is that you were looking forward to is the idea of segments. And maybe there is a segment each week where you each recommend something. Like, what is Eli's recommendation? It could be anything, but that'd be kind of fun. Eli.
We need like a fun jingle.
We do need a fun jingle. Yeah. I don't know who can work on that. I could probably work on that if you guys want, but maybe we could outsource that to some followers on Instagram. Like, does anybody want to create a jingle? That'd be fun. Zoe liked that. Well, if we're winding down, we're in the wind down section. Do you guys want to share any closing thoughts? You don't have to. Is there anything that you didn't get out of your system today while we were talking? Anything you'd want to like set an intention or say something out into the universe for the first episode that you would want said, or did you say it all? Yeah, you guys are very efficient. This is nice. Okay, well, I think that's it, everybody. We're glad that you listened. We're excited for what lies ahead. We might release a batch of episodes, so theoretically, hopefully, you might have another episode to listen to right now, but we're very excited about this journey, and we're glad you joined us today. Thanks for listening. I'm not going to turn off my camera, but...